Hi guys, here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil. Next, I take an ice bath. Ooh, feeling super healthy.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Signos.com, Signos.com, with code SPARK. Signos.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast12. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast12. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
In 2012, Chief Keef had the rap game in the palm of his hands. A rap song that was played around the globe, a $6 million record deal, and co-signs from the likes of Kanye West, Lil Wayne, and 50 Cent. Chief Keef was projected to be the next great in hip-hop. However, today, there's largely any interest in his music. His numbers are abysmal, and many say that besides his old music, he's fallen off. But how did this happen, when, and most importantly, why? And this is how Chief Keef blackballed himself. But before we talk about where Keef went wrong, we have to talk about how his career was birthed. And what's ironic is that Chief Keef's wrongdoings were what originally propelled him to stardom. And by wrongdoings, I mean his run-ins with the law. Chief Keef's first documented run-in with the law happened at the age of 15. The charges? Well, a young Sosa was trapping. And since he wasn't 18, he wasn't charged as an adult and was sentenced to home confinement. While on it, he met a man named DJ Ken, who helped him release his first solid mixtape. Bang! And just like that, Chief Keef was suddenly a name in the Chicago rap scene, with the whole city keeping their eye on him. However, before he could capitalize, he found himself in some trouble.
Keef is really Keith Cozart. Earlier this year, Cozart did 2 months in jail for probation violation, probation from a conviction for pointing a gun at a police officer.
In late 2011, Keef was leaving his grandmother's house holding a coat over his hands. Then, a police officer stopped him. Keef dropped his coat, flashed the blicky at the officer, and ran away. All while, Keef pointed the blicky at the police officer multiple times. The officer even retaliated back, but to Chief Keef's luck, barely missed. Eventually, he was caught with a loaded weapon and was charged with multiple counts of aggravated assault and possession of a firearm. But once again, this curse or negative situation would end up bringing blessings and end up propelling Chief Keef's career even further. As this time, when he was on house arrest, he met Young Chop. Together, they made their first hit. And on March of 2012, Chief Keef dropped a song called Don't Like, quickly gaining tens of thousands of plays, eventually millions, and got so big that Kanye West himself eventually hopped on the remix. Fast forward to the summer of 2012, and Chief Keef was not just that young, budding star. He was, to labels, the next not big, but superstar in rap. Not only that, Chief Keef became a household name within hip-hop, and this spawned a huge bidding war, as every label wanted the next, or to be, next superstar in rap. Jeezy wanted him to sign Atlantic Records, Def Jam, and many more, but Keef eventually settled with Interscope.
You know, I mean, I've been talking to a lot of labels, you know, but Interscope, I just noticed that Interscope got people like 50, you know, Eminem, you know, and I just got a signing deal, publishing deal with Dr. Dre Beats.
He was given $6 million and $2 million per project, as well as $40,000 to establish Glory Boys Entertainment, similar to what was given to 50 Cent so he could start G-Unit. However, this deal came with a lot of strings attached, such as if Chief Keef's debut project didn't sell 200,000 copies, Interscope had the right to drop him. But it didn't seem like Keef would run into any commercial problems anytime soon. In fact, in the beginning, the signing with Interscope went very well. They pushed Chief Keef's solo version of I Don't Like to hit number 73 on the Billboard Hot 100, a huge accomplishment, and his second single, Love Sosa, peaked at number 56 on Billboard. Pretty soon, both singles had went platinum. Keep in mind, streaming wasn't a thing yet. These were real physical sales. However, while having all the success, Chief Keef couldn't help but get caught in some more serious legal trouble. On September 5th of 2012, Keef was being investigated for the murder of fellow rapper Lil Jojo. How did he get tied to the crime? Well, Keef decided to mock his death on Twitter, writing, "Ha ha 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 ha, hashtag rich guy sh-." Sad, cause that guy Jojo wanted to be just like us, hashtag LMAO. He later claimed that it was due to his account being hacked. But Lil Jojo did have beef with Chief Keef's GBE gang, and he released multiple diss tracks on Keef. Jojo's mother also maintained that Keef paid money to have Jojo. Luckily, nothing came of the investigation. But just 1 month later, and Chief Keef found himself in even more trouble when a Cook County prosecutor asked a judge to lock him up after violating his parole. This was a response to a video of Chief Keef at a shooting range, which he posted to social media. But once again, God was on Sosa's side because the case got pushed to 2013. But hey, that's not all. That year, everyone wanted Chief Keef to link up with Lil Wayne, and it made sense. Wayne was the GOAT, and it looked like Sosa was going places headed towards the top of the rap game as well. However, not shortly after fans' wishes, a video surfaced of Keef saying this, "But hey, maybe it was an accident." Nope, because Glow Gang allegedly sparked a Dwayne's crew at a club in Miami. Sosa's cousin, Tato.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tweeted, "Just fuck the club up, Young Money K." Then Tato's big bro tweeted, "Gave Mac Main of Young Money that Glory Boys Entertainment business," and also wrote, "Mac Main a bitch, he an op." That's Lil Wayne's childhood friend, by the way. So it wasn't really a great look. Here's Wayne's crew's response, and it was very telling. "The pebbles the peasants throw don't reach the throne. Chill, youngin', you just jumped off the porch." Meaning, Wayne was unbothered, but still showed that they were not cool. However, just when things were getting heated, Keef explained that it was just a misunderstanding. The video wasn't real, and he really did mess with Lil Wayne. He even tweeted, "When I was little, I said my whole life, I'm gonna be like Lil Wayne and get famous and rich and have 6 kids. Afterwards, Chief Keef's Twitter said that the video was fake, writing, "Worldstar just started us on the wrong hands with a fake ass video." But it didn't matter. Chief Keef and his immature friends had just burned the most valuable connection one could have in rap in 2012. So it was clear early on in Keef's career, he set a trend of sidetracking himself constantly. However, all while this was going on, Keef was also promoting his debut album, Finally Rich. It was supposed to be huge, and eventually, at the end of the year, it was released. On December 18th, 2012, the album debuted at 29 on Billboard and sold 50,000 copies, and years later, went gold. Looking back, it did alright, with songs like Love Sosa and Hate Being Sober getting close to 1 billion streams on all platforms. But to Interscope, it flopped, as they didn't know the album would go on to be so legendary. For the first week's sales, they were expecting somewhere around 200,000. Keef struggled to sell a quarter of that. And from there on out, this situation created an awkward relationship with Keef and his label. It didn't help either when he missed multiple shows, violated his probation multiple times, and had tons of run-ins with the law. So many thought that Keef wouldn't last long. And their thoughts would only be confirmed when on January 15th of 2013, a court ruled that the Gun Range video was a probation violation. I mean, I guess it was. And Keef would be sentenced to 2 months in a detention facility. While he was there, he was featured on Yeezus, which is cool, but nothing crazy. When he got out, everyone expected him to lock in, but instead, he got in even more trouble.
No, Northfield.
On June 17th of 2013, he pleaded guilty to speeding and was forced to pay a fine serve 18 months probation, and do 60 hours of community service, and undergo random drug tests. However, that year, he did somewhat lock in because he promised to release a ton of music and kept that promise. In August of 2013, Chief Keef announced that he was releasing the sequel to Bang, the famed mixtape that put him on the map. However, when it came out, everyone called it trash and it did not sell well. But hey, a couple months later, he dropped Almighty So. So maybe that would sell well, or at least be taken kindly by fans. Nope, it did just as bad and was rated just as bad back then. But his troubles with the law weren't over, because in October of 2013, Keef returned to jail for a probation violation after testing positive for funny grass. Then, on November 6th of 2013, just a month later, he was arrested on another probation violation, again for substances, and he was forced to undergo rehab after this as well. And at this point, I'm just getting pissed off, like, bro, just lock in. But after all of that, Keef finally explained that he did have a problem and admitted that's why his recent music was lacking in quality, saying, "My last two mixtapes were mistakes. I was on promethazine all drugged out. I was tweaking. I don't sip the lean no more though." This was a sign Keef was maturing, and he actually may have had the maturity it takes to have a long-lasting rap career. The label hadn't given up on Keef either, and they decided to continue to push his music by dropping one of his big singles, Hate Being Sober, with a Wiz Khalifa feature. However, the song failed to chart on the Hot 100. How though? It had an A-list feature, and later another with 50 Cent, and today it's a classic. Well, around this time is when Keef would have real trouble with his label, Interscope, and he decided to not show up for the video shoot for the song, his own song. If he had shot the music video, it may have been his biggest song of all time. His manager said Chief Keef canceled two flights and didn't show up because Chief Keef was not used to scheduling music videos. He was used to just shooting them whenever he liked it. Yeah, not a great mindset. Afterwards, 50 Cent, who really believed in Keef, posted some worrying tweets trying to warn him, writing, "At Chief Keef didn't show up to his own video, I never saw anything like this. First song, it's not funny. At Chief Keef didn't sell any records yet. They will pull the plug on him. ... I guess only time would tell if 50 was correct." He even spoke on the situation later, kind of laughing at how immature Keef was.
He said, "Yo, my bad. Like, you know, I didn't know." You know what I'm saying? He's saying I was a baby. I was so young that I didn't know what was going on, because he didn't show up to his own video.
Right, I remember.
We was in the desert.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
With like buggies and all this other shit. He was like, I'm like, where you at? Me, Wiz Khalifa? No.
No Chief Keef.
And I'm like, wait. Like, I called him ahead of time, told him, get on the plane. And they was like, okay, could they send a jet? I was like, no, it's not the jet thing. You have to get on the plane. You understand? It's like, you put out Wankster, this is your In the Club record, and you're not showing up to the video. You see what I'm saying?
This was horrible. Although Interscope wouldn't drop him, it was practically the nail in the coffin for the relationship. They had just gotten Wiz Khalifa and 50 Cent on a remix to a hot song of his, and he decided to not show up to the music video. He even asked for a jet. That's crazy. So it's safe to say, mainstream-wise, Keef may have been cooked. However, at the time, that wasn't his largest problem. There's a saying, how you do one thing is how you do everything, and the way Chief Keef was acting in the mainstream light was the same way he was acting back home at O Block. That year, he would get into some serious beef with his old best friends and people he would call family. However, in 2013, Keef would get into some serious beef with them, specifically Lil Durk. Chief Keef and Lil Durk both came up repping BD and have a lot of the same friends. They grew up with each other, so why did they start beefing, right? Well, Durk's block was right next to Chief Keef's block, so naturally, they had a lot of the same friends. And both of their crews, OTF, or Only the Family, and GBE, or Glory Boys Entertainment, were pretty close. In fact, they were so close that at one point, Durk said that they were like family, literally, writing, "We all the same, Only the Family and Glory Boys Entertainment, everyone's family with two different names. Everybody says GBE and OTF, everybody grew together from the same block, everybody knew each other since they were kids. We grew up with each other, and everyone just got different music styles right now, doing their own thing." So what happened? Well, in 2011, Dirk was charged with a gun charge. Around 3 o'clock in the morning on June 5th of 2013, the Chicago Police Department were dispatched to the 7200 block of South Green Street after receiving a tip that there was a man with a loaded firearm walking around the area. Surprise, surprise, that man was Lil Durk. When Chicago police arrived on the scene, they spotted Durk attempting to hide a loaded 40 caliber water gun inside of his Hyundai and immediately arrested him. What's worse is Durk was on parole after serving only one of a 2-year sentence, meaning that if he was sentenced this time, he might have to do some real time behind bars. Or in other words, say goodbye to his rap career. So things were not looking too good for Durk. His bail was set to $100,000, which meant that in order to be released, Durk would need to come up with 10% of that money in cash. At the time, he was just signed to Def Jam, but he didn't have the money yet, so he reached out to a good friend of his, or at least he thought, Thief Keith, for some help. And at first, things were looking pretty good, because most of OTF and GBE's members showed love. But before long, problems arose when Chief Keef sent Durk the first shot, tweeting, OTG, hashtag only the glow, a play on words to OTF, meaning that he was not rocking with them. At the time, it wasn't clear what really happened between them, and none of the rumors at the time really made sense. However, soon the truth was revealed. Durk had hit Chief Keef up to put up the 10K he needed to bond out, which was nothing to Keef because he had signed a 3-part $6 million deal, as I said earlier. However, instead of helping someone he used to call family, Keef just let him sit in jail for a month without helping him. So afterwards, when Durk finally scraped together the bond money himself, he wrote, I'm back, yeah, I'm back. Did you miss me or you ain't care, I'm free. This was a clear diss to Chief Keef as it was the lyrics in his song First Day Out. Keef then tweeted, OTG. And by that point, everyone knew there were real problems. But it was really made clear when Durk made some tweets of his own. He started by saying, shouts out Lil Reese, Fredo Santana for being 100 and not being fake. He then made some disses directed at Sosa, writing, you would have been got killed if it wasn't for 300. And, f*** a deal, I'm out here, you better off sub between the ops. Basically calling Chief Keef an op. At the time, Durk was fighting his case. And both Chief Keef and his friend D Rose was locked up for another charge. So Durk sent shots at Chief Keef for this as well, writing, all the money but can't go get hashtag D Rose. Lol, bad enough, he on your ass already. He also said, view squad, why don't you get T Slick or D Rose? You got a big deal, right? T Slick was another guy who went to jail, who allegedly took a charge slash was caring to protect Chief Keef at the time. Chief Keef's Twitter profile picture was T Slick's mugshot for a long time. But apparently, Keef turned his back on him as well. And Durk ended off with, warning, I'm not hashtag soldier boy, this sh- can get ugly. So according to these tweets, and really Keef's actions, he did not have his friends' backs whatsoever, and they were only asking for too much. Durk then explained that Keef was banned from O-Block, writing, where are you gonna spend it at, cause you can't come around here with it, lol. Keef responded by saying, can't believe-
Hi guys, here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil. Next, I take an ice bath. Ooh, feeling super healthy.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com, Cygnos.com, with code SPARK, Cygnos.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to...
get your bag!
Two ways to peel for a chance to...
get your bag!
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to...
get your bag!
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playmcd.com for full details and amoe.playmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
You guys sending for the Twitter. That's crazy. You know damn well. I know you just like you know me. Goofy ass used to be brick. What he meant by that was that Durk couldn't ban him from his own neighborhood. And Keef wasn't about to back off either. He made it clear he was ready for the smoke and tweeted this. Just bought a 213 four-wheeler for the 10,000. The exact amount Durk needed to get his bond. But remember, Durk and D Rose weren't the only guys Keef left sitting in jail. His friend Trey had been locked up, one of the most dangerous shooters in Chirac, and unlike Durk, he wasn't there for just a month. And I'm not downplaying staying a month in jail either, as I have no idea what that's like. Trey had been locked up for 2 years. So the rest of O-Block had saved 18k of 25k to help bond out Trey, and asked Keef to put up the extra 7k to help bond out Trey. Keef told him it was no big deal. However, he never gave it, and instead, he bragged about spending the money on sneakers. This was the last straw, and when everything changed, and Dirk made it clear that they were coming for him.
There ain't nothing with us. There ain't no enemies, there ain't no friends.
And come for Keith, they did. Because later that year, Boss Top, who used to be Chief Keef's right-hand man, OJ, and some other OTF affiliates, broke into Keef's rental, taking jewelry, clothes, and even deodorant. Keef tweets, "Folks, they stole KK's stuff right out of her room. Detergent, deodorant, and on all blood, they stretched that shit." Aight. KK was Chief Keef's daughter. While this was taking place, one of the people inside the house, rumored to be Brendan Zerer, aka Twin City CEO, called 911 and reported that there was an armed robbery at the home. Keef and other Glow Gang members inside the house then rushed their friend, Terrence Smith, who was shot during the robbery trying to protect Keef, to the hospital, where it was determined that he would survive his injuries. At the end of the robbery, Keef even showed up. When they saw him, they snatched his chain, and they left by stealing Keef's car and drove off. When questioned by authorities, nobody said a word, which resulted in no arrest being made, but officers in the gang enforcement division released a document stating that the BDs were having an internal conflict and listed three photos of the persons of interest in the situation, with one of the people being Tyree Davis, aka Boss Top, also known as Chief Keef's best friend. Keep in mind, nobody was arrested because Keef and his friends refused to work with authorities, but everyone knew what happened. Afterwards, it looked like Keef was heartbroken, especially since his ex-best friend, or one of his close friends, Boss Top, who was known for wearing Keef's Burberry, was a part of the robbery. Keef wrote, "I clothed you, B. Put money in your lint ball pockets. I tried to glow you up. See, it worked." He then explained he was above them, writing, "I ain't nothing like these guys, but we look alike. Way higher form and fashion, and I'm loyal. I was giving y'all my clothes." And ended it by saying, he just bought everything back. Moncler's, earrings, Truies, Gucci bags, Louis Vuitton coats. I can go on and on. But when I found out, I bought it again. Money, money, money. But there was one thing he couldn't buy back. The genuine friendships that he once had. If we're being honest, his own friend wouldn't have robbed him if he wasn't being an asshole. But who knows, really. Afterwards, Lil Durk and his friend posted a video of them taunting Chief Keef, showing off his chain while Chief Keef's music video, "Close That Door," was playing in the background. He even pointed to the chain Chief Keef was wearing in the music video and said they had that too. A few weeks later, Chief Keef moved to Los Angeles, California, and never moved back. But the beef was far from over, and Chief Keef was not going to let what Durk and his old friends did go that easily. At the time, Lil Durk and Tyga had some beef, basically Tyga ghosted Durk, and then dropped a song with the game dissing Durk. So Chief Keef reposted the track on social media saying, "Be bull, go f*** with blood." This infuriated Durk, who was really mad and wrote, "Sosa posted Tyga and game diss on IG. That's saying f*** Chirac." Basically, he explained, Keef wasn't just dissing Durk, he was dissing his whole block. But he didn't care. And Keef put more pressure on Durk when he dropped a song with Tyga called Now and Later. So it seemed like the beef was only going to get worse. But then, out of nowhere, it was squashed. With Durk tweeting, "It's back, OTF, GBE, Chicago, we back at it. At Chief Keef, my brother, #300. And they collabed on the song Decline in 2015. But they never really collabed since then, and it's clear why. Things just weren't the same. What's worse is years later, Durk would come up big time, and not to be fake, as a large mainstream rapper, that connection could have really helped Keef. However, that wasn't the only beef he had that year, because Chief Keef would also start beefing with the Migos in 2013. Why? Well, the Migos dropped a song called Broken Knees, where they said, "You ain't got no money in your pocket, don't talk to me. No comprende, I talk Benji. My diamonds looking like KK. You broke and asking for favors." Sosa thought the Migos were dissing him because his daughter's name was KK. He tweeted, "Heard Migos sneak dissing, no talking." The Migos would later say this totally caught them off guard.
"I mean, we just woke up and that day somebody called my phone, my boy called my phone for no sign said."
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
"And you see this on Twitter, what's going on?" I'm like, "Nah, what's going on?"
And that they did not sneak diss him whatsoever.
"For the record, mm-hmm. We have never sneaked diss.
Never,
if
ever
it's
did
ever
a sneak diss.
A problem. I guess it was just some hay. shit going on. Mm-hmm.
In fact, they thought they were all cool.
You guys never worked. I thought you worked with Chief Keef before. I thought y'all was cool.
But they were rappers. So the Migos responded and dropped the song Jealousy. They're jealous and they envy me because I'm really who they want to be. I ain't never did a sneak diss. Call my hitman quick to put you on the hit list. And Chief Keef responded with a song called Pull Up. But then the beef got real when Keef's Glow Gang got into a scuffle with the Migos and some of their affiliates in DC, and everyone said Quavo got his chain snatched. At first, it was a rumor, but then Chief Keef posted this picture saying, "What's this?" After that, the Migos squashed the beef, and they've been cool ever since. But once again, Keef was cool with the Migos earlier. He took something out of context and lost another huge connection. It seemed like Keef just loved burning bridges. I mean, come on, bro. Lil Wayne, Lil Durk, the Migos, Wiz Khalifa, 50 Cent. Who's gonna be next? But hey, that year, Chief Keef announced another project. Let's go! But before it would drop, it was announced that Chief Keef was dropped from Interscope Records in the beginning of October of 2014. He tweeted, "Ain't shit gonna stop, just get bigger and bigger. 100% of everything goes to me now. Jimmy, it was cool splitting it with you, but you gave your spot up." As well as saying, "Laughing because to me, I was dropped. MFs ain't helped me pay no MF bills." But this is just kind of like saying you don't want someone after getting rejected. And to fans, he definitely felt and looked salty. But he did also express he wasn't feeling Interscope anymore. So Chief Keef had admitted that he wanted to get dropped. To be honest, it was pretty clear from his actions as he was not showing up to shows, not releasing albums on time, and was doing a lot of things to breach his contract and get dropped. Jimmy Irvine and Dr. Dre ended up leaving Interscope after Keef had signed. And since they were the reason Keef had signed Interscope, he felt he didn't belong there anymore, as even 50 Cent left. However, regardless of what he thought, a major label will always be a big push, and getting dropped will definitely hurt your career. Furthermore, Keef was getting a lot of personal problems as well. He dropped a song called Fuck Rehab with his friend Blood Money. A few weeks later, Blood Money was no longer with us. And these types of losses were not easy. Just a week later, after dropping his tribute to his blood cousin, the song titled Ain't Missing, he lost another person, Capo. So Keef definitely made the right decision coming to LA, but the beef wasn't over for 2014. Because what if I told you that Chief Keef did not just beef with rappers? He was above that. He'd also beef with entire cities. Nope, just kidding. He would beef with entire states. Which state? New Jersey. It all started when back in 2014, someone tried to snatch his chain in a Jersey show. So Keef responded in a song writing, "On the ground, on the floor, someone pick him up, take him to the morgue. I'm riding through New York, finna go and shoot New Jersey up. Trying to take my chain, I ain't going. We gonna come up and blow New Jersey up. You want something, blah blah blah." Clearly, he was mad, but dissing a whole state was crazy. And some Crips posted this video as a response.
"We got an issue for you, Chief.
I got an issue for you. You disrespect my block, all headshots. I ain't playing with you. South over Sosa, shit on sight."
Basically explaining he was no longer welcome there.
"Jersey don't love you. You no, gets no, no, no money in my state. You gets no money in my state. You Chief."
However, Keef's response to this, Finito, became one of his biggest hits, and he never got checked by anyone in Jersey, so I guess he got off easy. Someone around the situation explained why he did so. Keef was actually trying to help some of his friends out.
"Like, folk was taking out the hood, taking out of town, and stopping from getting killed."
But after what happened with the robbery, he had no choice but to cut them out.
"You know, when that shit happened, when the chain situation and all that, folk, it was like, it was over after that, you know what I'm saying? Like, Sosa cut a lot of the guys off just because it was just, he just didn't fuck with nobody. Like, it was Glow Gang versus everybody."
And that he just couldn't trust anyone after that.
"Because he felt like if you wasn't with it, you weren't going to stop it, or you weren't going to be with me. You was with me for what I could do for you, you know what I'm saying? Because he felt like, bro, my own homies are getting out on me. What's to you?" And I understood that, but at the same time, a lot of who loved Sosa genuinely, you know what I'm saying? He didn't have to cut off all the guys, but I seen why he did it.
And personally, I think he 100% did the right thing. As now that he was in LA, there was no way he was ever going to get touched.
"They ain't got enough money to go to Calabasas and Merc Jiki. Them on Instagram talking, them ain't going getting motherfucking Navy SEAL suits, jumping the gates of the cold on the movie, unlocking it, coming through three floors."
So Chief Keef was not having a great year. Multiple beefs, a lot of sidetracks. Yes, some music was dropped.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice, and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
But he was no longer with his major label, and as an independent artist, things are tough. However, in 2015, Keith announced he would be signing to a billionaire, with a completely different deal than most artists were given. Keith signed to Philmon, which actually produced live shows, and signed for two projects. In 2015, Keith had quite a bit of output. However, it turned out that this wasn't what Keith wanted, and he wasn't actually the one behind the projects. Of course, this would cause problems with Keith and the billionaire. And what ended up happening was that Philmon, the company, sued Chief Keith for millions. According to them, Chief Keef's contract was suspended 2 weeks ago because his management went off and did a tour without our approval, and the billionaire explained that he wasn't happy with the direction they were taking him. But before they fell out, they did get some stuff done. Of course, Keef dropped a lot of music, but they had also scheduled him for quite a bit of shows. However, there was some bad news. Keef had tried to do a hologram performance in his hometown of Chicago. Of course, he had outstanding warrants there, so he decided to beam himself in a concert near Chicago. But authorities cut the power, and leaked text messages showed what happened. How many minutes is the hologram set? Here it goes. Damn, what happened? City did that. 20 cops cut the bulldozed trailer. This concert was actually a fundraiser for victims of violence.
Stop the violence. Stop the killing. Stop the nonsense. Let the kids go up.
And fans were on Chief Keef's side. It's crazy we had tens of thousands come out in peace, and the city and police shut down a hologram of Chief Keef. Later, it was revealed that the police found Keef to be a threat.
City properties, you can do anything you want.
Even though Keef was preaching a positive message. Of course, if you listen to his music, that's another story, and the police definitely were not having that. And from their point of view, it makes sense. Chief Keef having a Stop the Violence concert was probably crazy to them. To them, how could this demon think that they don't know what he's talking about in his music? After all, Chief Keef is a wanted fugitive in Chicago. Afterwards, Keef didn't help when he dissed the mayor. But the concert being shut down was the least of Keef's worries. You see, when Keef left for LA, it wasn't because he was robbed, or just because he was robbed. He also left because he had to show up in court, and he never came in to do so. Meaning, as I said earlier, he had outstanding warrants. Meaning, he couldn't tour, because of his legal issues. The only way to fix this? Facing the music and heading to court. So it looked like Chief Keef was going to get locked up, because nobody is above the law. However, he managed to stay out of trouble. After that whole debacle, he did drop some music and laid a bit low. However, randomly in March of 2016, Chief Keef tweeted that he was retiring from music. A fan asked him, "Did you forget you were a rapper? You way behind on music. Drop something." Keef responded by saying, "I'm retired, you don't know. Too many people sound just like me or saying stuff like Almighty would." And to make matters worse, in the end of 2016, Keef dissed Uzi and Famous Dex, even Cardi, explaining that he was coming back. And then called rappers who dyed their hair some pretty mean things, and that he was not cool with them shaking their booty. Good to know.
2017, I'm coming, right? I'm gonna let y'all know something. All these fat rapping today, shaking their booties and all that. On beat, until 2017, that's how long they got.
And because hip hop was starting to go against his strong values and moral code, he had to make a comeback.
Bang ass, it's ending 2017. I swear y'all, my dead homies, I'm gonna come back and go crazy. Y'all stay singing all that. All this stuff. Okay. So,
for the culture, not for himself, but for the greater good, to steer hip hop in the right direction. I was beginning to be a bit satirical, but many took this as a diss towards Lil Uzi, Lil Yachty, Famous Dex, and Cardi, as that was what everyone was titling the video as on social media platforms, and it just made sense. And then, all of a sudden, in 2017, Chief Keef did make that comeback, dropping a handful of mixtapes, and just like that, he was back from retirement. However, it wouldn't just be an eventful year in music, because not only did Keef decide to go to his old ways of dropping, but he'd also decide to go to his old ways of getting into trouble. And nothing made that more evident than when in January of 2017, Keef decided to carry out a home invasion by himself. Yes, you heard me correctly, a home invasion by himself. After making millions of dollars, Chief Keef decided to kick someone's door down personally. I know I just repeated that three times, but it's just absurd to me. Here's what happened. All of a sudden, one day, an LA SWAT team arrested Chief Keef and his friend Tato. Their bail was both around $500,000. The crime? Brutally robbing and assaulting a producer, who took to social media and gave all the details. The producer explained that he got into an argument with someone close to Keith.
Dollars in my Rolex.
Into an argument with Uncle Ro, wife Kelly.
They then put Keith on the phone.
You know,
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
He called Chief Keith before and tried to put him on the phone with me and tell me to calm down.
And not even 15 minutes afterwards, Keith decided to show up and stand on business.
So boom, I go to sleep, wake up. 15 minutes later, somebody opening my door, kicking down my door, talking about the Sosa.
However, the producer actually thought they were cool, so he just opened the door.
I opened the door. I done produced a song for him, met him a couple times, I didn't think nothing was wrong.
But when they came in, they got to work. Wink, wink.
Boom, he pushed me in. Behind him, got a Draco 7 looking thing. He started hitting me in the Tato started hitting me in.
The producer, Ramsey the Great, told everyone he was ready to snitch.
Listen, all the white people on my page talking about chill, Chief Keith, do all this, shoot back. I'm a snitch and all this other. I don't give a fuck. I don't give no fuck. He dumb enough to have a $6 million record deal and come in my house and jump me personally.
That he was going to get money out of Keith through court.
Man, y'all just want to keep the cycle going. Shoot, you supposed to kill him. The court. Y'all finna win $300,000. What are you talking about?
And explained that Sosa robbed him for low value items by Keith's standards.
And I thought you was rich. Why you take $1,500 from me? I thought you was rich, bro. You need $1,500.
And that he would be seeing Sosa in court.
I just think that somebody who with $6 million would be a little bit smarter about their actions and showing their face. You know what I'm saying? That's just not smart.
And that Keith was just really, really, really silly for thinking he would get away with this.
If you think that you could come inside a person's house, home invasion, with a and beat and you worth $6 million... Boy, you got life fucked up. You supposed to transition, try to be you better send somebody else to do it. You stupid dude, for real.
I mean, the producer was practically celebrating.
Civil case coming soon, like, and we talking six figures.
However, meanwhile, after the snitch is done, for Chief Keith, things were not looking good. California did not play about crimes like these. What's worse is this move could have seriously jeopardized Keith's freedom for years, not even because of this case. You see, one of the main reasons Keith went to California was to dodge his Chicago charges, because California does not cooperate with other states, unless it's capital M-word. However, being a celebrity is one of the few cases where states tend to bend the rules, and now Keith was in jeopardy of being sent back to the mean streets or justice system of Chicago. So, things were looking pretty bad. However, luckily for Sosa, he lucked out, because in April of 2018, Ramsey the Great was sentenced to 10 years in prison for charges of human trafficking, pimping, and weapons possession. But 2017's misfortunes weren't over yet. Later that year, Keith had to bury his cousin, Fredo Santana, who passed away due to natural causes, and losses like these weren't easy. Then, in both April and June of that year, Keith was arrested, once for speeding, which got him 50 hours of community service and probation, and then the next month for going against his probation. But then, once again, in 2018, he began dropping like the old days, and it looked like Keith had gotten back on track. I know I've said that like 10 times. However, for some reason, or not for some reason, he just couldn't get away from danger, because that year, the infamous 6ix9ine would pick Chief Keith as a target to beef over. It began when the well-known thought Cuban Doll was dating Tato. Cuban posted some pics of her saying Tato abused her, and apparently the reason hands were put on her was due to her FaceTiming 6ix9ine. 6ix9ine then posted a video of Cuban Doll at his side and said this:
4 years ago, 3 years ago, and living y'all rap, y'all don't do. I know that personally.
And told everyone, Chief Keef and his friends weren't going to do anything.
Y'all gonna give me 48 hours? Yo, wait 2 months. Yo, this is going. Where I'ma die? Chief Keef, Lil Reese, all of them.
Tato, Keef's cousin and best friend, if you didn't know that already, and Trippie Redd then dropped I People, where they threw shots at 6ix9ine. However, for once, 6ix9ine took it to real life and put a hit out on Sosa. One day, someone came out of his hotel room and fired a shot. Luckily, they missed, but it showed that Keith was in real danger. However, nothing happened from there, other than an investigation that led to nothing. Later, in court, 6ix9ine admitted that he offered $20,000 for someone to shoot at Chief Keef, but not to end him. So, it was all a front. Over the next 5 years, Keef would drop a lot of music, a lot, but none of his music reached the success his earlier work did, except a couple songs like Swear, which some argued was a return to form. Looking back, Keef is often outdone by his early hits, like I Don't Like, Love Sosa, Hate Being Sober, etc. However, no matter what you say about him, Keef is one of the most influential artists of all time.
I dare y'all to name another rapper outside of like Drake or...
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Ye, with their influence on a sound that has influenced a whole bunch of rappers recently to sound like them.
I can't because all the rappers sound like each other. I don't know.
But you agree with him on Keef's
100%,
on how influential
100%.
He is.
100%.
Lil Uzi said the same.
Most influential artist in hip hop. Chief Keef, definitely. I remember that. I remember, like, that's another one, too. I remember, like, they didn't, on the front, I had got it. And on the front, it wasn't even really, like, his picture, but, like, everybody else. I remember that. Like, I remember that. And we was looking through it. They had all the photos. But, yeah, he definitely influential.
Lil Pump listened to him.
She's listened a lot to, like, Chief Keef.
Word.
Yeah.
You love Chief Keef.
Yeah. Bro, hard.
Juice WRLD gave him his flowers.
Chief Keef, what does that name mean to you?
Shout out Sosa. I mean, it's just crazy to see that somebody shooting a video with their friends on their block where they from can end up, you know, being on charts and going platinum and having songs with, you know, Kanye. You know what I'm saying? Everything.
Right.
And me being a music head that I was and still am.
And Sosa doesn't care about what the mainstream media thinks or does. Like when he didn't know when or where the Grammys were.
What you think about the Grammys?
That
was tonight.
But at the end of the day, it looks like Chief Keef is living his best life. Multiple supercars, a mansion, a dedicated fan base, and a name that will never be forgotten as long as people still care about rap. So you can't really tell him except maybe drop the album, which has been delayed like 5 times.